Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in.
Scrub-a-dub-dub.
We are back at it another week in the OR. I just drove to Newport and right back from Newport, which is about, you know, an hour 15. So I'm on a high.
I'm still on a high from Owen Hunt, honestly. Not gonna lie. I have like a glow about me. People like all week were like, wow, you look different. And I was like, you know what? I just ended like a 13-year feud in my head with somebody.
A character, a fictional character.
Yeah. So I feel revitalized. I feel regenerated and alive.
I would say that I feel the same feeling.
Yeah. Although I did watch Grey's Anatomy this week and I still was kind of like not totally jazzed on him.
Listen, it's you, like it's you said, it's 13 years.
Yeah.
Which is that how long it's been? 13 years? Not since
know.
He cheated on, no. But I get what you're saying.
2003.
No, when he cheated on
Christina.
Yeah.
2003.
No, the show started in 2005.
Oh. Oh, 2013. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's a good 8-year run.
Yeah. So it's going to take some time, but the ball has started rolling and
there's healing.
Good. Yeah.
The healing has begun. Yeah. Begun. I know. I felt the same way. And I was thinking about it in the car of like, we have had this feeling towards not only Owen, but also Kevin McKidd,
yeah.
without even realizing that we had transferred our negativity towards the actual person that was playing a character. So.
Correct.
It makes me keep in mind like how we think of people we watch on TV. Like I always felt like this about The Bachelor when people were so rude to the contestants and like, you know, it was just like everyone was a joke. But I'm like, these are just people, like we like go and there's cameras all over the place and they're taking like little snippets and glimpses into these like 14-hour days and making it into a 2-hour show, and like people are so cruel. But then I find myself doing it even when I watch The Bachelor shows now. So it's just a reminder, especially when someone's playing a character to, you know.
No. I can still feel the way I feel. They deserve, when they, you sign up to be,
yeah,
an actor,
Kevin,
you sign up for that.
Yeah. But Kevin McKidd didn't do it. He's just an actor.
Correct.
So I'm saying like, don't send like death threats to the actors.
Oh,
because
no, I never went that far.
Well, you didn't, but people do.
Right, correct.
Like, do you know how many Christina stans probably sent like the nastiest messages to him? You could have been one of them.
I could have. I never take it to that level because I don't believe in trolling. I don't believe in like actually being, you know, trolling.
Yeah.
Taking it that extra step. But speaking of, so I spent the entire day yesterday, literally the entire day. I don't think I did one product. Oh, no, I went to the grocery store. I went to the grocery store yesterday watching Squid Game.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think? Did you finish it?
Yes. And I'm pissed that I did, but I couldn't stop.
Pissed that you finished it?
Yes. Because so Red Star and I haven't been doing much because he can really kind of do like one activity. And so over the weekend, I was like, I really need to watch an episode of Squid Game. He had never heard of it. And I was like, it's like the biggest show in the world right now. Everybody's talking about it. I just want to like see what it's about. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just going to watch one episode and just like, you know, test it out. I was so shook by the first episode. Like I was not at all prepared for it. I feel like it's so disgusting. I feel like it's just, I don't know. Like I have this weird, like it's not a show that Tanya watches. Like it's not feel good. I was anxious the whole time. I was sitting on the edge of the bed. I was like having to pace back and forth, but I also couldn't stop watching it because I wanted to see how it turned out. I like needed to, it like hooked me in, but I hated it.
Did someone tell you it was uplifting and heartwarming?
No,
oh,
no.
Yeah. No, I don't think anyone has made that claim. So you going into it, there should have been no expectation that it was going to be a feel good.
But people were telling me that they'd like have watched it with their kids and stuff. So in my mind, I was like, it's a little more lighthearted than.
Who watched it with their kids?
It doesn't matter.
Should we report them? That's pretty dark.
So, yeah. So spoiler alert, I'm not going to like share much, but it's basically like the Hunger Games, but like way more brutal.
Yeah, but did you watch The Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Did you? Were you pissed about The Hunger Games?
No.
That's so bizarre because I felt more affected by The Hunger Games in a weird way because they were innocent kids where I felt these people, it was like this greed. They were kind of like crooks. Some of them were like not great people.
Right.
And they were going in it for the greed of having money and killing each other for the money, whereas Hunger Games are like these innocent kids who are randomly chosen and picked to stay alive. So I find it fascinating that you have a problem with this, but not Hunger Games.
I don't know why, because I feel like to me, anything that glorifies killing people is just like not for me.
Well, I think the overall theme of the show was more, what I took away from it was how we like push people aside and try to get to the top for something that we want so badly. And then you get it, but it's like, at what cost?
Right.
And I think that's the whole theme of like what greed looks like and how you can all of a sudden have all the money in the world, but at what cost and what do you live with for the rest of your life in return for getting the prize?
Right. I don't know. I was just like, I was so mad at myself because, you know, like I'm not one to like binge. I can't just like sit and just watch TV all day. And I kept wanting to get up and do stuff. I was like, okay, I'm going to go for a run. And then the episode would end and I was like, I have to watch the next one. And like, it was just like that the whole time.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's very, very intriguing and sucks you in.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was really good. And I love the story of like, you know, I felt multiple different feelings about the fact that the director for 8 years, or the creator of the show, is he the creator and director? I'm pretty sure the director. He basically tried for 8 years to get it made and no one would do it. And then finally it gets done and it's on track to becoming like the biggest show in ever streamed or something on Netflix, or maybe ever. I don't know. But a lot of people are like, this is such a great example of don't give up. But then someone else is like, this is a great example of how people in this industry don't give real talent a chance.
Yeah. To me, I think of it as like sometimes, you know, no today could be a yes tomorrow. or a no for 8 years can be a yes the day after 8 years.
Well, yeah. they're very risk averse. You know, they don't want to take risks. They want to do another, just remake old stuff. Like, oh, let's bring that back. And somebody comes with a truly out of nowhere idea. They're like, oh, that's scary. We're not doing that. But Tanya, I had a question.
Yeah.
So if a show, like if I watch a show and it's 8 episodes and it sucks me in and I am locked in for 8 episodes because I cannot wait to see what happens. I feel like that's all I ask for on a show. After it's over, I'm not mad at myself. I'm happy. That's what I wanted it to do.
No, I was so mad. And like literally Red Star kept looking at me and he was like, are you okay? Do we need to take a break? Like, do we need to go on a walk? And I was like, yes, because there was like some moments where I just like, I couldn't handle the anxiety that I was feeling. I don't know, man.
Would you have finished it without Red Star's involvement?
For sure. We both were on the same like. And he was trying to work and he just kept being like, oh, I just got to finish this. So we're like, okay, let's get through it at this point.
Well, me and Taylor Banks were talking about possibly doing a drinking version of the Squid Games. And it's like red light, green light. But if you move, you take a shot as opposed to getting shot.
Oh, God. So dark. Getting shot.
That scene was very jarring because when that happened, I was like,
oh,
this is about to get really dark because it was quick and it was there was a lot happening.
So then this isn't giving anything away, but there are these like characters in the show that have these like animal masks and they're like gold and silver. And I was like, wait, this could be a cool Halloween costume. Like he could do, you know, like the suit man version and I could like make it like cute girl version. But then because we were going to do the Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes. And I feel like now we have to like change. We have to switch directions. So I'm thinking about that as a Halloween costume now. But it feels like a lot of people are going to do it.
I was going to say, I mean, you and half of America will be in the same costume.
But it's coming down to the wire, you know.
Yeah, I mean, That would be a good one because you have a mask on, which is nice, you know.
Yeah, you don't have to really get ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're just, well, you know, Kim Kardashian had full glam when she was in her Met Gala look. True, so you can always have that done. Speaking of, she was amazing on Saturday Night Live.
I think so, too.
I just was like giggling the whole time because she actually, I felt like, did a great job in the acting, the skits and stuff and acting. I thought she was really funny and like, I wasn't thinking, oh, this is so cringe.
My favorite thing is seeing the headlines of like, how did Kim Kardashian's family react to being roasted on national television? I'm like, you don't think that she's sharing all these jokes with her family before she does them?
You don't think that her family is just in used to jokes? Being yeah. roasted?
I was like, she for sure ran all those by everybody.
The more roasting, the more money.
Yeah, you know what they say, generates. There's no such thing as bad press.
I get the concept of that, but I don't know that I necessarily agree with that as someone who doesn't do well with bad negativity attention on me.
That's different.
Yeah, it's different.
Are you talking about trolls and comments and stuff like that? That's different from bad publicity.
No, I'm thinking like, let's say like there was an article out about Becca and how she was like, I don't know, what's something bad?
Well, nothing at this point.
You were just a total witch to a PA one day on set or something. Let's say like that's whatever.
Right. And a bad tipper.
Right. 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 People are going to be like, oh, who's this Becca Tilly? And they're going to go to your Instagram, maybe follow you, maybe go listen to your podcast. They're going to be like, who's this chick?
Or they're like, cancel her ass and everyone unfollow her and give her no more attention.
I think Tanya's right. I think you do want people talking about you, even if it isn't glowingly positive. But on the other hand, this is the age where there are certain things that you're just gone. Your career is over for good.
I was going to say, I think before the rise of social media, I agree with the concept. But now it's like you so quickly can be just like done for with bad press. So I just don't know that holds as much weight as it used to maybe before social media days.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
No.
Okay. Well, do you agree with the fact that lyrically Evermore is better than Folklore?
No.
Really?
Yeah. Folklore is so much better. All around. All encompassing. 365. No.
I listened to both of them. Well, I listened to Evermore.
It's so weird that you just said that because literally, can I show you what I was...
My ears sometimes when you yell like that in the mic.
Look what I was just listening to.
Evermore.
Yeah.
Not Folklore.
No, because I listen to Folklore all the time and I was like, I need to change it up. But I'm in a Taylor Swift kind of like moody mood because it's kind of like muggy out.
Mm-hmm.
Not muggy, cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I put Evermore on and I literally was thinking in my head, God, Folklore is so much better.
No, I think lyric, because, you know, I was not into Evermore when it first came out. I was kind of like, it's good. There's like some good songs, but Folklore is like superior to me. And I've listened to, this is with TikTok videos that I've seen. The lyrics that people point out from Evermore are so beautifully written that I'm like, how does her mind work like this? Like, how does she think of wording something about... Like, there's this one where she talks about your Midas touch on the Chevy door, November flush and your flannel cure, which is basically saying, like, it was cold out and your cheeks were flushed from the cold, but you had your flannel to keep you warm. Who thinks to say it like that? You don't listen to lyrics, though. I remember how I dominated you in that lyric game we did that one
time. You know, I do think that I have, like, that Evermore could be an album that is like a little bit of a trigger for me because when the event happened with Red Star, Evermore had come.
The trigger event.
Yeah, it had just come out. So I listened to that album a lot during the breakup period. And so maybe it has like a little bit of like a sour taste for me.
But you could re-listen to it.
With fresh eyes.
Well, yeah, and a fresh renewed heart.
Can't.
Oh.
Just can't.
Well, you listened to Folklore when y'all were like hippie, happy, blissful.
And I love that album.
Oh.
Interesting.
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 Well, Adele's coming out with a new song.
Oh my God.
And I just saw, you know, that she released like a teaser video, and I had like full body chills and like tears in my eyes just from like the piano. Was it like the piano that plays? And then
she posted like a minute of it on her. She went on Instagram Live and she played like a minute of the song in her Instagram Live. She's never done an Instagram Live before. How many times can I say Instagram Live?
Did you hear the song?
Yeah.
Is it? It's on the internet. Amazing?
Yeah. You can Google, it's like Google search Adele share snippet of her new song or whatever. It's there.
I'm absolutely going to do that.
Yeah. But I love her. And she just did Vogue. She did the cover. She did the cover of Vogue. She talked about her new boyfriend and her weight loss, which I found really interesting because she was saying how when she lost all that weight, she got a lot of mean, hateful comments from other women. And she was saying how she understands because she's like a lot of women saw themselves in me, like, that she represented a lot of women. And, but I don't know. It really like rubbed me the wrong way.
I was just having this conversation the other day about how a lot of times I think I've talked about this before, but like criticism comes from people doing less than you. Like very rarely am I critical or like having anything negative to say about people who are doing less than me.
Right.
I'm normally more critical of people that are doing more than me because I'm like, oh, I want to be doing that, or I wish I was doing that, or I would do it a different way. If I'm going to have criticism, it's going to be towards people doing above me, you know, because I'm like, I want to be doing that. I'm not really worried about people who are doing less than me because I'm trying to go up.
Right.
And I think a lot of times criticism, especially from women about physical attributes, come from people who are struggling with maybe insecurities that they're dealing with. And so they see someone who they saw as relatable because they saw themselves in that person, and then that person makes a change and has this healthier lifestyle, which maybe someone hasn't done for themselves. And there's that, well, you left us in the dirt. Like you left us behind. Cause we don't get to have a chef or a trainer.
Right,
and
right.
It comes from a place of, I want to be doing that, but I'm scared or something. I'm insecure, whatever it is. I don't have the confidence to do it. I feel like I don't have the funds or whatever to do it. And so I always find it interesting when people are critical about those things, because I don't think it's coming from a place of hate. I think it's coming from a place of like, how do I get to where I want to be healthy and feel better about myself and not have those insecurities? So it sucks, but
it really irked my pickle that reading that. I was just like, it sucks.
But like, think about it. The people who are doing more than us don't care what we're doing.
So true.
The people who are doing less than us are the ones who are going to have criticism and like negative comments because they want to be doing it as well, I guess.
Right.
Something to think about.
Something really pondering hard things today. Also, is your smell back?
No. Does my breath smell?
No, but I think I smell. So oh. Just making sure.
I'm like such a freak now. Like it has taken over my mind, body, and spirit of making sure that I smell fresh and feel fresh. And I hate it.
Because I've actually showered since. But when I tell you, like, it was
it's
like,
when?
I showered last night before I went to bed.
Oh, because your day in bed.
My day in bed. Like it was 3:45 and I literally looked down. And I was like still in my robe. I was like, oh, this is weird.
Do you smell when you're just sitting around?
I think so. Yeah, you're just stale. You're just like sitting there.
Stale?
Yeah. You're just like sitting there and your armpits are just like stuck to each other. And like, ew! What do you mean?
I don't know that I smell just sitting around.
You do. Yes, you do. If you don't bathe in the morning, that's why you should bathe. Well, should. I bathe in the morning and I bathe at night to freshen things up.
If I need to feel fresh, I'll
bathe in the
morning.
Get a little water in there, a little towel situation, a little soap.
Because do you feel gross after you wake up?
Yeah.
What?
When you sleep at night and you're like kicking and sweating and like wrestling around. Because I'm a normal human. We sweat.
Is this normal? Do y'all sweat?
I mean, I feel gross in the morning, but that's why I shower in the morning.
Thank you.
What? But that's it. I don't shower again unless I, you know, a big exercise or a big sweaty hike or something.
You don't shower before you get in bed?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
I do.
And in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least twice a day, oftentimes three.
Honestly, Easton, I'm there with you.
I love a three-day shower.
And nothing's better. Sorry, planet Earth.
Right. I'm quick. I'm not just like in there having a good old time, 20 minutes every session. Sometimes I can pop in and out of my shower quickly within like 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say my nighttime shower or bath, depending on which one I do. No. Those are longer because I'm like relaxing and I'm just like, I have time and just like going to unwind. If I do a morning or like mid-afternoon, it's a in and out.
See, mornings are quick, my quick, and then nighttimes are quick before bed. And then after a workout, I'm usually quick. Thursdays are when I shave my legs and my vagina. And then every day
Thursday, those are the days.
And then I shave my armpits every day.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my routine.
Thank you. Riveting information today on the podcast.
Yeah. So Thursday showers are a little longer, but...
Wait, so Mark, does she shower before bed or do y'all both agree that it's
fine? She's a before bed shower. I'm a morning shower.
And she's just fine with you getting into her clean bed
sheets,
with
all like stink.
With the day still on you?
Yeah,
unless I was super sweaty for some reason. Yes, it's fine.
See, that's what changed me. I was a once a day shower and then she would not allow me to get into bed without showering.
Same with 95P. I was like, listen, if you're like one a day, it's got to be at night before you get into the bed.
Yeah, the bed needs to be crisp and clean, fresh as a daisy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No day like gunk in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the day air can bring you troubles. It can bring you germs. Mm-hmm. It can bring lots of things. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to bring that into your bed. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. The bed is a place of dreams and peace, mm-hmm. tranquility.
Apparently sweating for you and kicking, which is not peaceful or tranquil.
I sweat in my sleep. I drool in my sleep. It's gross. Thank God I wake up before a red star and I'm out the door.
He like looks over and gazes at you with just like drool coming out of the corner of your mouth and sweat.
How lucky am I? It's annoying though because he doesn't smell. He like doesn't wear deodorant, and then he doesn't smell. It's so
I know you,
irritating.
You, part of me wonders if you're just like it's the same thing of everything he does. You think is attractive, so like part of me is like, is this true?
I swear, next time we hang out, smell his armpits, and I swear they don't smell, and he doesn't wear deodorant.
Well, his body's probably adjusted to that.
I know, but I don't. I actually wonder how long it would take my body to adjust to that, and I don't know if anybody around me. Could be around me in the interim, you know? Like
you should have done it while I really couldn't smell.
Yeah.
I can smell, but it's still, like, I can't smell you right now.
How long does it take to get your body off of deodorant?
Isn't anything like a 21 days or something to, like, adjust to a new
way of life?
I mean, that's how long it takes to, like, break or start a habit, they say, but I think with the biology of the body, it might be a little bit strong, you know, longer process.
Right.
Okay, then 3 months maybe.
Yeah. Oh. 90 days.
Yeah.
It's going to be a rough, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, you're with you working out and sweating at night, that would be
no bueno.
Pain for everybody.
He doesn't wear deodorant at all?
No, like
wow.
Maybe once a month if like we're going to go do, maybe if we're like go do like a crazy workout, but yeah, he doesn't wear deodorant.
I mean, Dean doesn't wear deodorant either, and he smells great. So
I know.
I rarely wear deodorant, honestly.
You rarely do?
I rarely wear it on an everyday basis.
Not every day?
No.
Wow.
I coat myself head to toe in it.
Yeah, and I dispute that Dean Unglert doesn't ever smell bad. We used to have him in studio, and you could tell when he wasn't wearing deodorant.
I mean... It was like a funk, but it was a pleasant funk. It wasn't adverse to me.
I don't like a pleasant funk.
No.
I thought it was more of a pheromone than a body odor, but maybe that's just me. I thought it smelled fine.
I prefer fresh over funk.
Well, I remember Kaylin that there was this whole conversation about Dean had been traveling for like or camping or hiking or something and hadn't showered for like two or 10 days or something. And he was coming to see her and he was going to stop off and shower. And she was like, I actually am curious to see what you smell like now, right now, without having showered. And she was like, it definitely wasn't great, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Ew.
I'll never forget finding out that he didn't use soap. I was like, yeah. Dean.
We all remember where we were when we found
yeah,
out.
Yeah, truly.
We all remember.
Yeah.
The comment heard around the world.
Yeah. But you, well, next time you see him, will you smell his armpits?
That'll be at Ben's wedding, Ben and Jess's.
Next time you see him? No, Red Star.
Oh.
Dean. I was like, God, you don't want to hang out with us till the end of November? Cool. Okay. Yikes.
Yeah. If you're getting off your deodorant, then I'm not coming around.
See you in 90 days.
Yeah, I'll just... What do I just say? Hey, Tanya says your armpits never stink, because that's an invasive move.
Yeah, you're okay. Gonna have to tell him.
Okay.
Yeah, don't just go in.
Okay.
But catch him off guard. Don't tell him it's happening.
But tell him that I'm going in.
Yes, you're going in, correct, but not before. Like the morning before, the day before. Like don't.
Oh,
share.
I get what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. Well, speaking of nothing, we have some really fun guests today. One is new, one we've had before.
Correct.
Easton and I really appreciated that segue, Becca. Congratulations on that.
Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame.
Speaking of nothing. Uh-huh. Okay, we've definitely had one of our guests on the podcast, but then the other is a family member who we've never had. But we're having Megan Trainor and her brother Ryan Trainor on the podcast today to scrub in.
Yep.
They have a new podcast. So, you know, we're going to be talking to fellow podcasters, right, which is always fun.
Just like the same, you know, just like looking in a mirror.
Exactly. Parallel lines.
Parallels.
So we will take a break and then we will be back to chat with them.
Excited because we have two guests joining us in the OR today. We have Megan and Ryan Trainor, everybody.
Hello.
fellow podcasters.
That's right.
That's right.
We have a podcast. We just recorded an episode, so we're up.
Oh, what were you guys working on this podcast?
We're working on nutrition, which I'm super pumped about.
Overall health.
Gut health. I have a probiotic that I'm obsessed with, and I got to interview the lady who made it.
Which one
it's
do you use?
Just Thrive. Really? I poop every day.
Yeah, she. If we get her going, she'll just talk about poop for 30 minutes.
I poop every day. I poop a giant poop morning, guaranteed, if I take these pills at night.
Here's the thing. Before we jumped into the interview, we were talking about natural deodorant, and Tanya was saying how she could talk about natural deodorant for hours with people. I feel like pooping is another conversation that really, what?
He can't stand it. Every podcast I've been doing, I'm like, my poops. But like,
we always end up here.
People poop shame and they shouldn't.
It's not a poop shame. It's just like, how much can you talk about poop? It's poop.
Oh, I could go on for hours.
Yeah, right? Because here's the thing. What I realize, at least for me, like my boyfriend has no problems going to the bathroom and I have so many problems going to the bathroom. So I could talk about poop and probiotics and like all those things for hours on end.
I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, I don't know if men, feel like I hear, and maybe it's because it's my friends who talk about it, but I feel like women really do struggle with gut health and having regular poop schedules. And I feel like guys don't get it. So they're like, ew, like, why are we still talking about poop?
Yeah, I think that's the key here because I don't seem to have a problem. I go multiple times a day and I always have. And
I literally asked the girl too, who made Just Thrive. I was like, is there something where girls don't poop as well as boys? Because that seems to be the case. And a lot of it has to do with your emotions. And I was like, well, there it is. Like, emotional, we hold. I know for myself, I don't know if you want to keep going on this, but I know for myself, if I wake up and I have to work early in the morning, I won't get a poop all day. If I can wake up and chill for like an hour, it'll probably happen. And then my day is rocking.
Right. It gets the day started the right way.
It's so crazy you say that because I think that's my problem. When you say you go multiple times a day, I'm like, I don't think I've done that since I was like 5 years old. But when I wake up in the morning, I wake up and I hit the ground running. I don't give myself time to go to the bathroom. Like, honestly, I really don't.
Yeah. So I know if I have to like work out at 8, I'll get up at like 6:30 and I'll have breakfast in bed. I'll chill with my baby and my husband and I'll be like, we're cooking it, you know?
Like the minute I smell coffee, I'm ready. I don't understand.
It's different. They're different.
Okay, do y'all have a store? Like some people say if they walk into like Barnes & Noble or TJ Maxx, like they instantly have to go. Have y'all ever experienced that?
No, because I have poop anxiety where I can't go in public.
I can't either. I can't relate to that, but I thought that was interesting because a lot of people have that.
Not a store. No. I don't know. I just go when I go.
I know. He just doesn't get it.
I don't get it.
They
eat
and then they poop. Yeah. Like right after.
That's metabolism.
Daryl's the same way. I'll be like, where the F were you? And he's like, I was pooping like all day long.
All day. That's all he does. What does Daryl do? He's in the bathroom again.
Pooping. He has a great digestive tract.
Well, I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Happy
me too.
For you too, Ryan. Yeah. And happy for us that we get probiotics and other insights into our
Try Just Thrive. It's great.
Okay. I will.
Changed my life.
So I have a question because y'all are siblings doing a podcast together. We're best friends. Like we were best friends when we started this podcast. And a lot of people, I think, you know, sometimes mixing work with your closest relationships, a lot of people kind of steer clear of that to avoid, you know.
Oh, they're giving each meltdowns. Other a look.
Have y'all had that yet?
Tanya knows. Anytime Tanya saw me, mostly was like my bro was there.
Yeah.
Because
he was my videographer and photographer. So we've been working together for years. We love it. Finally, he did have a meltdown recently where he's like, I don't want to be an employee anymore. I want to be your bro. And so he's not taking my pictures anymore.
I'm still an employee, but it's like a cooler job. Like
no, it's producing, our podcast.
I'm producing you still come to me like, it's still, the color's not right. I'm like, I'm colorblind, bro. I cannot see.
But we still work together and we're thriving.
We just fight and we get over it. It's fine. Yeah. It's whatever. I don't take anything to heart.
Yeah, I think it's because we live together and we're used to that environment where it's, I can be like, yo, bro, you up. Like you need to fix this.
Yeah.
But we're from Massachusetts. We yell at each other all the time. Daryl gets a little like, oh my God, why is he talking to you like that?
How could they disrespect you? I was like, why? You just said do better. I don't know what you mean.
It is easier to yell at siblings than anyone else, though, to have those like conversations where you're like, you're not doing it right.
That's also why like I refuse to ever have an assistant until I really need one day. But my mom is my assistant. Because I feel much better being like, Mom, will you watch the kid when we like go to work out, you know?
Yeah.
We're the park.
I don't want a stranger coming over and be like, can you get this?
Do you feel like being a mom, did you have this idea of what like motherhood and pregnancy and all that would look like versus the reality of it? Because I have this idea of when I have a child that I'm going to just have this blissful experience. But the more people are talking about it on social media and being open about the experience, I'm like, this could really go in the opposite direction.
Don't let it scare you. Don't let it scare you. There's many things that are not on the internet, if you could imagine. That they're not in books. I didn't take any classes, so maybe that was my problem, but it was COVID. I was like, man, I'll figure it out. But there's so many things that nobody tells you, like big things, like how to breastfeed.
Right. Or
what it's like if he flips and you have to do a C-section now. They just send, the doctors are like, so when do you want to book it? You know, it's very, like, because they do this every day.
Yeah.
So I am writing a book. Ryan laughs at me because he's like, sure, I'm going to write a book.
She read a couple books. Now she's like, I'm going to write a book. I know everything about the world. I'm like, dude.
Because nobody told me like 18 things and I'm partnering up with a nice lady and we're going to write it together. She's had two kids. And I'm asking everyone their different opinions, but I was like stoked to be a mom, like always since I was like 22. I was like, can't wait to get knocked up.
She bought four dogs.
That's good preparation, yeah.
And so when I was pregnant, I didn't know about gestational diabetes.
Right.
And I got that and I was like, what? Like, it's supposed to be like freedom. I can eat whatever I want. What do you mean? So there's like bumps in the road that nobody tells you about, and a C-section was like fantastic going in, but the recovery is like,
yeah.
So, and then he was in the NICU. There's like a thousand. The other problem is it's not the same for every person. Mm-hmm. It's always different. So you can't be like, expect this, because they might not have that. I had zero back pain my whole pregnancy. I had no back pain. I had
Your back didn't hurt those last few weeks. No. Even when you were like getting up off the couch, you were just
Whoa! I was a heavy gal. I weighed a lot at my max. Impressive. My max capacity. I was like, boom, 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 like, watch out. Like,
yo, slow down, buddy.
I slept on the couch. Yeah, I was a big gal. But there, yeah, you can't even give advice. You can just, unless you've experienced that too, but it was great. Again, you do forget all the misery and you go, can't wait for number two.
I know. I that's what I feel like people, I have some friends who during the pregnancy were like, I will never do this again. I cannot put my body through this. I'm never taking the risk. The baby is, I think she's two now, and she's like, yeah, we've been talking about another one. I'm like, huh. I remember some conversations that were very different from this one.
My period right now is MIA, which is very exciting and frightening.
Oh.
But I took a test and it says negative. So I think another thing that nobody tells you is that your periods don't come back super regular after you stop breastfeeding. So, but when I told my husband, like, I took a test and I joked around and I was like, it's pregnant. He was like, so happy. So ecstatic. And when I told him it was a lie, he was like, why would you do that? Like, almost cried. And I was like, oh my God, you're ready. Like,
yeah, that was a good test.
I was like, give me 5 minutes. Yeah. I'm like in a fitness journey.
Yeah, she's trying to get that fit life going.
I'm trying to be so fit that I don't have gestational diabetes next time, even though it's genetic.
It's genetic though. Yeah. It's like hereditary or something.
But also I want to be that person too that had a C-section the first time and then pushes it out the second time.
Yeah. My sister did that.
So then I could really write a book of like, here's what happened, you know?
Yeah, my sister did that. So you can do that.
See, it happened.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it.
But no, I actually have an interesting question because I saw this reel, or it was either a reel or a TikTok, I'm not sure. But it was like this girl, and it kept saying, like, as a woman, it's when you're single, why aren't you dating? Why don't you have a boyfriend? Once you get a boyfriend, it's when are you getting engaged? When you get engaged, it's when are you getting married? When you get married, it's when are you having a baby? When you have a baby, it's when are you having another baby? Megan, do you feel like you get that a lot? And then on the flip side, Ryan, do you feel as a man, do you feel that?
Because
I'll answer for him. No, I pressure him a lot. Like, don't you want a soulmate?
She's the only one. Yeah. Everyone's just like, dude, dear, you're doing everything right. Just relax. Chill out. You're only 28. Even though I'm like, she's like, you're 28. Get it going. I'm like, you did it your way. I'm going to do it mine.
And any human I talk to is like, when's the next one?
Yeah.
I'm like,
It's so weird.
Like, more common.
It's like not like 1965 anymore or whatever. Like, just everyone does it at different levels. Though, different levels.
We're weird. Me and Daryl were like, we should become one.
I mean, and in the hospital, they were like, you're a baby. You're so young for this generation. Yeah,
they thought, like, I was a, that a they treated me like I was 16 years old. And yeah. I was like, love this. But anyone, if you're like 32 in the hospital, they're like, oh, geriatric. I'm like, what?
Yeah. It's pretty wild because I just feel like it is. It's such a gender thing, you know, like I was single for so long. And like the question was, why aren't you dating anybody? Why haven't you found somebody special? I'm like, it's like, girl.
Also, congrats, ma'am, because you look so happy on Instagram and I love it.
Thank you.
And I remember you did your whole Dear Future Husband book and I love.
Thank you. So, thank you. I know I did my calling in the one and I called him in and he's wonderful and so, so great. And definitely it was worth the wait. But it's like the second I started dating him, it was like, okay, and now everyone's like asking, like, you know, when's the engagement? Da, 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 da. And it's like, whoa. But like, for so long, it was just like,
that'll never stop. And that'll be forever. I've just like accepted it.
And you're like, okay, cool. Yeah. And we're going to take a beat.
And it's not even like, cause I'm being interviewed. It's like, no, it's just humans. Like, that's just their nature. Especially the older generations are like,
yeah,
well, what's next? You know?
Yeah. It's like, why can't we just like sit in the moment for a second and just like enjoy it? But it's interesting that Ryan, you said, like, aside from Megan, nobody pressures you into anything.
No.
But mama's like, maybe she's the one. Or like, she goes excited. Like this. She goes like, oh my God, you should meet Hailee Steinfeld. And we're like, what? Like, how would this happen? She has dreams for him. She has
big plans.
Big plans. I'm like,
love her though.
Love Hailee. Oh my God.
I mean, my buddy's girlfriends, you know, they get a little buzz going. They'll just be like, oh, right. I'm like, let's think about Ryan's type, and we gotta find Ryan a girl. Like, if they get a little drunk, then they start bringing it up. I'm like, oh, because all my friends have girlfriends pretty much, especially really? After the quarantine. A lot of them are like, all right, we're locking this one in.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. Really?
You got sober instead.
Yeah, oh, I went through a mental breakdown.
Well, it's not on the mental breakdown, but congrats on being sober. Yeah.
You got to go down to go off. It was a
final rock bottom. It was great. It was good for all of us.
Yeah, so sobered up. It's good.
He's living his best life.
I just have to like feel all my emotions and I hate it, but I love it.
That's so interesting.
Podcast because like it's our family therapy because he doesn't love therapy, but we get to talk it all out.
Right.
To be honest, like I've been in therapy for a year and I am the same way. I still feel so vulnerable feeling my emotions. Like I still, even though I know it's been so helpful for me, I still like when I feel myself wanting to cry talking about something, I'm like, no, like block it. But then I'm like, this is part of the growth. Yeah, push it down. I get that. But I'm really, honestly, it's such an accomplishment, you know, to like, let yourself feel and to get through that kind of stuff. So seriously proud of you. That's really cool.
It's almost like taking a great poop.
To bring it full circle. No, but it is interesting because I think that like I'm one of those people where I feel my feelings and I feel like I'm the person that looks in the mirror and cries. Like I watch myself cry.
I love that for you.
Yes, Tanya.
So, Tanya.
She's like, I'm here with you.
Yeah. Well, I kind of feel like Megan, you're the same way.
Yeah. No, I love a good cry. I cry any chance I can. Good, happy cries and sad cries. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like you put on sad music that like you know will like get you in your feels.
Yes, I used to do that, especially in high school when I would go through a breakup. I'd put on like, sad R&B song.
High school.
Tanya's like, high school. Uh-huh, yeah, same.
Yeah,
same.
I did that like a year ago.
So, Brian, when you go on dates and stuff, do you try to keep like, are you seeing your sister in such a very public relationship? Like, do you think in your mind it's something that's more private to you, or are you kind of like, once I find someone I'm gonna be, you know, because I'm in a relationship but it's private, it's not a public thing, so you know. Yeah. And it can be complicated, especially because my whole job and life is sharing. Yeah. My life and but you know, I had a public relationship and now I'm in one that's not public, and it's like there's pros and cons to it. It's like my own, it's ours, and I don't, you know, have to worry about people's opinions of it who aren't in my life, I guess, on a personal level. But there's also something really cool about sharing your love. So I kind of go back and forth on if and when I will share it.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm in a situation where I'm like not dating at all. I'm literally trying to figure out who I am as a person, how to be a person without like alcohol. I feel like that was my whole identity. It was just...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Party guy.
In a booze bag, which is terrible. Mm-hmm. And then, I had like commitment issues. So I never really had like a serious relationship in the last like 10 years.
Yeah.
But it depends on the person, I guess. But yeah, I like to post if I, you know, find someone that's fine. But whatever they want to do, I don't really care either.
We're
way.
Also like, I don't think of me and Daryl as like very public.
Yeah, like I don't think we're that cool. I think you're a lot cooler than us.
Yeah. And like people care more about you.
Yeah, like, I don't think anyone cares about.
No. I was like, people were they like, what happened? Were they like mean or they commented about your relationship once or something?
No, I think it was just I was on The Bachelor, and so like all people cared about was my love life. So I think then I had a relationship and it felt like, I remember feeling like
we were
going to break up, and I still like, there was this high of posting photos. And then when I stopped, it was like, well, what happened? It felt like all of a sudden I'm going through a breakup and people are strangers or in my business. And so it was kind of this whole thing. So it was just different.
Yeah. It does like mess with your mind a little bit, because my boyfriend, I broke up for like a few months, and I like was wrecked. Like, so shattered, and like I couldn't talk about it because I would just cry. Like I was like, I actually physically can't. And like I had to call Ryan and like tell him, but I was like, I can't talk about it on the air because I'll lose it. And it's interesting because it's like after that I was like, oh my gosh, now I'm like, I'm kind of like scared. You know what I mean? Like you build something up, you know. Yeah. I mean? For me, I'm like, I love the love and I love to share, but then when it fell apart, I like freaked out. Like I just didn't know what to do. So now I'm like, yeah. But it's so hard for me. Like I can't. I'm like, I just want to post them all the time. I'm like, I'm obsessed with you.
I guess yeah. What happens with this podcast? If I do meet someone and I do start talking about, I don't know. I don't want to.
You know who will be upset? A lot of the fans that really, really want to date Ryan.
Do you know? I used to want to date Ryan.
Yes. I literally, as soon as you popped up, I was like, I've seen him before, and I was like. I remember Tanya showed me photos of him because she was like, Megan's brother is so cute.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I swear.
Tanya.
Swear.
You didn't ever tell her. Like,
I didn't tell you, Megan?
Hell no. I would have hooked it up. I know.
I think you would have crushed it. We'd have great things. Shut
up. Yeah. No, I totally. I don't remember what year, but I remember specifically like what it was at this like Jonas Brothers party. It was like at Philly Mac. And we were like waiting in line at the bathroom together. And I was like, oh my God, Megan's brother's really cute. And like you were obviously so nice.
You made my day, I'm honored.
And then I came home and I told Becca about it. And I was like, what do I do? But I think we fell flat at what do I do?
Well, no, I think because you said you're 28.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're, because at that time.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I wanted a serious relationship. I was, yeah, I've always been looking for a serious relationship.
I think it was kind of like, she was looking for
the one. This is good. We did everything correctly here.
Stars align.
Yeah. You let me know when you're like ready to date. I can get you this book. It's called Calling in the One.
There's a homework assignments in it. So
yeah. So every day for 7 weeks you have homework, but I'm telling you, it gets you in this like mindset where you're like, wow, I really realize this is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. And this is what I'm calling in.
Okay.
That's what he needs too. Cause if you ask him, he'd be like,
I don't know.
Well, there's also a lot of pressure of people being like, what's your type? What are you looking for? And if you write it, everyone has the opportunity to write everything they're looking for on paper. But then you meet someone and it's like the piece of paper kind of means nothing. Like I think you have your non-negotiables in certain ways. But I think with everything, it's all about that connection that you have with someone. Like you refer to Daryl as your soulmate. Like you knew beyond what could be written down that he was the one.
I talk about this a lot to my gal friends too, who are looking. I'm like, I never had a specific type. Right. And I have a friend who is like only tall, dark hair, no blonde. I'm like, all right. But you can see my track record is like opposite looking human beings. But I was like, I refuse to marry a redhead and have redhead babies. And I got me a redhead with a ginger baby.
Anything can happen. Anything is possible.
So true.
It's so true.
Head of wands.
I think I focus so much on writing down like my dream guy, which is really funny because couldn't be more opposite. And I just think people spend so much time doing that. And then you meet someone and it kind of all goes out the window. So I say call in the one because she did it and it worked if you're ready, but just know there's homework
when you're ready, but there is homework, but it's good. It's the good kind. It's really self-reflective.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. Cause I hate homework. Always have, always will.
No, but it's like good homework. Like it makes you like realize like the patterns that you have in dating and like getting rid of them. It's good. Trust me.
Just it's the other thing you love. It's like, therapy.
Like, I
don't want to think about any of that.
Only one girl in high school has ever been Ryan's girlfriend.
Well, like, I mean, I just had like classic LA 6 month flings, you know, like the standard.
But like, yeah, but they don't call each other girlfriend, boyfriend. We're all just like, what is it?
Right.
Label it. Tell us what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's another thing too. Like when you date us, you date our family.
Yeah.
I love that though.
It's great.
That is like, and I imagine having you as a sister-in-law would be the best ever.
A grand old time. Yeah. Tell you what. You'll be pooping like a champion. Yeah.
Like a champion.
You'll have that healthy deodorant. Honey, I'll take care of you.
And sick vacations. There's sick a lot vacations. Of
you are welcome to every vacation.
Cute.
Yeah, we'll put that. It out there. The scrubbers are listening, and they'll be sending in applications. So just wait.
Yes.
Can y'all tell us where we can find people can listen to your podcast, everything else you have going on? Go
I know,
ahead,
Megan. And you have a lot of stuff going on, so definitely tell everybody where they can catch you.
Oh, Lord. You can catch me if you love cooking shows. She's a host of a TV show Top Chef Family Style.
Peacock.
It's on Peacock.
Yeah.
I said that weird. And then I have a new show where I'm judging cover bands. with Esther Dean and Adam Lambert, which is sick. And that's on E, Clash of the Cover Bands, produced by Jimmy Fallon. There it is. The winner gets to perform on his show. Pretty exciting.
Cool.
And then I'm also doing my podcast, working on it with my big bro, Ryan. Yep. And that's everywhere, working on it, pod.com. Working, and you can like
working on a pod, submit all questions, socials,
all socials, follow YouTube, us, subscribe, smash that button.
I'm running the New York City Marathon for Boston Children's Hospital.
Yes,
whoa.
Doing it, right?
Yeah, link is in my Instagram bio, ryan.trainer.
It's for a great cause and a sweet little girl named Hannah.
Yeah, shout out Hannah.
She's like six. She's so cute. And then, I'm a mom. And I have a son, and he's the greatest and the best husband.
His name is Riley.
Husband ever. His name is Riley. I wanted him to be in this, but I think he's napping.
He's napping, I think.
Next time.
Yeah, next time.
I definitely feel like we'll see y'all again.
Yes, ma'am.
As a collaboration.
Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy, how is it?
It's not back yet.
It's not back yet?
No.
Yeah, this week, actually.
Yeah.
Last season was like a tough one to get through, honestly.
It had some ups. Really? It had some highs. It had some highs and it had some lows.
My husband and I, like in the quarantine, in the beginning, he never saw it and I made him watch it and he was
from the beginning?
I mean, those episodes are the best.
But around season 7, he was like, I'm bored. And I'm like, it's going to get good. Just keep going, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least get through the plane crash episode.
I said you need to see like epic events.
Yeah. There's still more past season 7. So keep him on that train, the track. Yeah.
But this last one was...
Yeah.
Peaks and valleys, you know?
Peaks and valleys. We love you guys. Congrats on the podcast.
Yeah, we love you.
And everything you have going on. And hopefully we'll see you again really soon.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having us. We love you.
Bye.
We love you guys.
Bye, guys.
All right. We love a Megan Trainor moment and love a Ryan Trainor moment. It's so funny thinking that I remember you thinking he was cute and we were like, what about Megan's younger brother? And I didn't even realize how much younger he was.
Right.
Than you at the time. Because
I was thinking, I was like, why didn't I ever explore that option? And then I think I remember we discovered his age.
Yeah. And it sounds like he was really living his life.
Not in
partying.
The headspace. Yeah. Not parallel lines. Jeez,
Tony's like, I want a husband. And I'm going to go for a guy that's 6 years, 19 partying every weekend. They're really great. So make sure y'all check out Working On It. I think we have an email, Mark, if you wanted to hop into that.
Thank you very much, Becca.
Yeah,
this is from Juliana. I place so much value on my friendships, and I always have. I've been single for many years now, and I've sort of always had the Carrie Bradshaw mentality of maybe our girlfriends are our soulmates. Lately, however, I've just been feeling a little hurt by some friends in the sense that I feel like I put all the effort into the relationship, and it's not really reciprocated. I watched Becca's story when she was sick and Tanya dropped off a goodie box at her front door. Becca said that everyone needs a Tanya in their life. So my question is, what if you are the Tanya, but you don't feel appreciated for it? Have you ever had a time in your life when you felt like you had friends, but none that really appreciated you or maybe just didn't care as much as you do? What would you do?
It's so interesting because I think that people show that they care and people show love in different ways. And so... for me, it's like I don't necessarily feel appreciated if I make somebody a box, like a get well box. I don't expect Becca to like make me a feel good box, or do you know what I mean? Like I don't ever expect or feel appreciated in the same ways that I express love and being and caring about people. So yes, I have had friends in the past that I feel like, you know, but honestly, that was a lot younger. I feel like my friendships now are mutually beneficial. Like I have both parties in my relationships that are equally giving and are there. And, you know, some help you when they help me when I'm low, I help them when they're low. But I feel like when I was just graduating from college, I went through a lot of those phases with some friends that, you know, they gave me a lot of crap for not going out to the clubs with them or things like that, because I was just starting out with my career and I had early call times and I just wasn't going out with them. And I remember having to have some like friendship breakups because it just wasn't a good relationship for me. And so I think if you're feeling that way, you really kind of just need to examine if this person like really cares about you, if this is something that is important to you. And if so, express what you're feeling. And if not, then move on.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tanya, like her gift, your gift, since you're sitting right next to me, is gift giving and like showing up and doing things for people. And it's like not every, like a very few people that I know in my life are as considerate as Tanya in that way. Like I remember years ago, she went on a date with a guy and they talked about cookies that he liked or something. And they went on one date and then he went back to Texas or something. And she's like, I think I'm going to send him a basket of the cookies because we talked about how much he loved them. And I'm like, I don't know that you need to do that, you know, but that's really nice and thoughtful. And Tanya's always been that way. Like she's always been the person who showed up with like a box, you know? And so I think,
I remember that guy.
Yeah. And she's never, I genuinely don't think that she expects that in return when she does it. She does it because it's what her love language is like gift giving. And she's just very thoughtful that way. But I do think I was having this conversation weirdly last night about how like not everyone gets to have a best friend, you know, like not everyone has a best friend in their life. And especially as an adult. And I was saying, I feel so lucky that I have so many close friendships and people that I feel like I can rely on and that are supportive of me, because a lot of people don't have that like connection with anyone, much less multiple people.
Right.
And I think sometimes as you get older, you kind of realize like what's the value in that friendship. Like, are you doing things expecting things in return, or are you doing them and it's this equal balance of like showing up for each other in different ways where you can, and like when you specifically need certain things. But I think you start to weed out the friendships that you're not getting anything from, because when you're constantly giving, eventually there becomes resentment. Because even if you're not receiving in the same way you're giving, if you're not receiving anything across the map, sometimes those friendships it's time to say goodbye. That was sayonara. Good for a season. And, you know, invest into other relationships that you feel fulfilled by. That's my advice.
You know what's interesting, though? And I was actually talking about this the other day, because I threw everything into like my relationships, my friendships for so long. And I feel like when you get into a relationship, naturally your time goes to your significant other and that, you know, that relationship and that partnership. And you can't dedicate and give as much time to your friendships as mm-hmm. you did in the past. Like you just physically can't do mm-hmm. it. And yet, even though I'm trying to like, go against the grain, and like, sometimes I feel like I spread myself too thin. I've had my friends, like my best friends, they know if I haven't seen them in like 2 weeks, they know it's not because, you know,
I hate them
yeah. or care any less about them. Like I'm constantly checking in over text messages or having phone calls. And they're like so happy for me in this phase of life. You know what I mean? I think that's so different, because I think also when you're younger or more immature, people get like pissed when you get into a relationship and you start spending all your time with somebody mm-hmm. like that. And so it's just cool. I think a lot of it comes with maturity, and also the right people. So find those people.
Find those people.
Find them. They will find you.
I'll find you. Also, I'm very excited about the Meredith and Scott Speedman relationship forming on Grey's Anatomy.
You are?
Yeah. I really like him.
I do too.
And there's like a cute chemistry that I haven't really seen her with anyone else that they've tried to match her with.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I'm more hopeful for this one than any of the other ones in recent years.
Yeah,
me too.
DeLuca, including Hayes. Yeah, there's been a lot. There's been quite DeLuca, a parade through.
I forgot about Meredith and DeLuca.
I was like getting on board with DeLuca, and then they really took a sharp turn and said, nope,
I know,
not
I
doing
can't
that.
I can't believe that they just killed him like that. Like, justice for DeLuca.
Who are we mad at about that?
He didn't deserve that. Mm.
Maybe Shonda. It's what he wanted.
I don't know.
We'll never know. We'll never know.
Isn't it Shonda's decision?
I think there's multiple showrunners, so.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think she's very actively involved with the storylines anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, we forgive you.
That's healthy. That's healthy relationship right there. Yeah. With Grey's Anatomy.
Wait, by the way, did you try and spam Kevin McKidd?
What does spam mean?
Oh, because I genuinely feel like he has pull over in the Grey's world. And if anybody can make us extras, it's him. So I was tagging the hell out of him last week, being like, whatever. No response yet.
Well, we can't decide.
Yeah, see, I told you.
We can't decide if he runs his social media account or if he has someone doing it for him. So we're not sure what angle we should take, like being overly aggressive, or I don't know what the other option is.
Right. Like I went subtle with the tagging, but I might need to go bolder with a DM.
I mean, what do you have to lose?
Right. Exactly.
What have you said to him so far?
No. Nope.
Yeah. No. Pride is long gone.
Long gone. That left in 2005 or.
What? This is when you know it's time to end the podcast.
2005.
It's a long time from now.
Mm-hmm. It's like the year
2005.
No, what's the year Easton would know this, that Kelly Clarkson's gonna be number one and they're gonna sing underwater, Jonas Brothers?
Thought 3000.
The year 3000.
Yeah, yeah, that's what the title of the song is called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Originally a song by Busted, the UK pop band that people seem to always forget about.
Or have never heard of in the first place.
Right. But
everyone listening, go listen to Busted. They're so good. Everything they do is great. Listen to Crash the Wedding. Listen to Year 3000. They're so good.
Oh, yeah. Wait. And I know you don't watch Ted Lasso, but they just aired the finale of this season and I'm not there yet. I don't know I think I'm close to the last one, but there's this episode that's all about Beard. And it is so not like any of the other episodes. It was so weird. It was like painful to get through. I was like, what a weird episode. Have either of you seen that?
No, not yet. I'm working my way through, but I love bottle episodes. I love the occasional random episode.
It is so random. And I was like kind of getting annoyed because there's a storyline that I'm very intrigued with that I just want to see more of. And like that episode ended on such like a high with this like storyline. And then the next episode airs and it's like random and bad.
How dare they?
How dare they?
It's like they didn't even consider you and what you wanted.
There's the scene with Ted Lasso. No.
This is honestly the reason why Ted Lasso was such a bust for me, because Tanya did this laughter and then I saw the scene and I was like, no.
So he's in the hospital with like this, with the therapist, and he's like, asked the nurse, he's like, does she have a blah, 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 blah. And the nurse says, no. And he goes, does she have a, I don't know what the words are. And she says, no, but you know a lot about brain stuff. And he goes, I've watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy. And I was like, wow,
that's actually nice. Relatable. Tanya, I can appreciate Lasso, that.
Yeah.
That feels significant.
It was.
That story's way better than the first one you gave me.
It was good. I was giggling. I rewinded it a couple times. Mm-hmm.
As you do.
As you do. Are we going to go on a walk today? We've been doing our walks, actually, which is cute.
I'm way too busy, but I love you so much.
Okay.
Everything's booked like on the hour right today.
On the hour. Please go through those things.
I can't. It's too much right now.
Too much, such as?
I need to eat first before I can think about anything else. That's okay. The main focus. I'm going back to Aroma Cafe to get my wrap. Tanya, like, well, Tanya will order like a side of tuna with like lettuce leaves. And then I won't finish my wrap and she'll eat the whole thing. And I'm like, why didn't we just split one of these? Like, for what? For you to just feel like you were perfectly healthy, even though my wrap was like perfectly fine.
No, it's because I had already eaten lunch that day and I was going out to dinner. And so I didn't really want to eat, but I was a little hungry.
You ate the whole half an hour wrap and my curly fries. Tanya doesn't limit herself to the good food as much as you think she does. She loves a French fry.
I do. I don't order it for myself, but if it's at the table, I will nibble.
Which is one of my biggest pet peeves, but I had a huge plateful, so I let it slide. But normally I'm like, order your own fries.
Two types of people in this world. The sharers and the Karens.
Well, it's like...
And the leeches.
No, the mooches.
mooches, leeches, whatever. If you want fries, order fries.
Exactly. I didn't want them, but they looked so delicious.
Yes, you did want them. This is that mind game you play with yourself. Oh, I'd much rather have a salad than pizza. You don't. You're lying to yourself. Because when the pizza comes, you want a slice of it, and you're not even going to finish your salad. This is your brain game.
I haven't seen curly fries in like a long time.
And they were like,
they were
exquisite, really.
Exquisite.
About to order some more today.
Wait, so what's on the agenda for the next 5-6 hours that you can't walk
with
me?
I'm leaving for Hawaii tomorrow. So I have like, oh, that's all right.
Like errands.
That kind of stuff. Getting ready for a trip.
Fine, fair. CVS.
I'm not, I gotta add that to my hourly schedule.
Do you pack snacks for your trips?
No.
Yeah.
I'm like perfectly content getting on the, I eat before. I might get one of the snacks that they offer on the plane or go to like one of those little, you know, stores before and get some like chips and a drink or something. But like, I don't pack all my, like, I'm an adult. I can make it 6 hours without having to eat if I need to or having one snack.
I know. I don't know why I have this like mentality of when I'm traveling, I have to have snacks with me in case, like, God forbid something happens to like the car when I get to my destination and we're like stuck on a freeway or like, I don't even know.
95p.
Have you downloaded lots of entertainment for yourself to watch on the way so you don't have to be stuck if there's no entertainment on the plane?
Nah, I have some podcasts downloaded, so.
Okay. All right.
Love a crime junkie session.
There you go.
But Tanya and 95p are more alike than they are different. I'll say that because I have to deal with the snack thing with both of these loonies every time we go somewhere.
By the way, when we went to Vegas, I packed like a little snack pack of grapes, and I packed one for every person. And I got in this car and Red Star was like, "You packed one for every person? Like, no one's going to want to eat it."
I never got
mine.
Sure
enough, everybody ate their packets. I was like, "Thank you."
Well, like, if food's given to me, I eat it. It's just that I don't expect it or like, I don't do it for myself. So if someone else is like, "Here, I brought you some grapes in a bag," I'm going to be like, "Oh my God, thank you so much." Right. I'm going to be polite and eat the grapes.
Like pop an organic grape in your mouth besides over like a salty nut.
Did I ever tell the story about when the first time I went up to, we went to the Ivy, which is in West Hollywood, Beverly Hills. When I lived in San Diego, I had just moved from Louisiana. And so we had seen like a bunch of celebrities. Jen Aniston went to the Ivy and was always like photographed coming out. So when we drove up to LA for the first time ever, we made a reservation at the Ivy. And I'm looking at the menu and there were like chicken enchiladas or something. It said free range chicken. And I had never seen that before on the menu. So I asked the waiter, I was like, excuse me. And of course, my accent was probably so Southern at the time. And I was like, what does free range mean? Huh. And he goes,
what does that mean?
They're just not in like cages.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I thought
that makes me feel kind of better. And he was like, that just means they're, you know, not in cages. And I was like, okay. So it tastes the same? He's like, yes.
Do y'all have any of those sweatshop chickens, maybe? I kind of like that taste better.
But I went to the Ivy this weekend, probably like one of the first times I've been back since then. And I was like giggling, thinking about it. I've really come a long way.
Yeah. Proud of you.
Thank you. Well, you didn't know either, so yeah. Proud of you.
Well, like I've seen it a bunch and I've never questioned it. But then when you said that, I'm like, do I actually know what it means?
Yeah, it just means they're not kept in like cages. Yeah.
When you go to the farmer, when you buy your produce from, or when you buy your meat from my local farmers, they tell you how they kill the animals and like that they pray over them and like, oh, yeah.
Wow. It's emotional. Almost makes me not want to eat them.
I know. It's very intense. Like I have a weird feeling about it, but I don't know. I like knowing.
Okay. Well, on this note, we're actually going to end the podcast now and we will be back next week and I hope you all have a good week.
Me too.
Love you so much.
Love you. Bye.
Listen to Evermore. Stream Evermore.